What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Rossler and Derek Ambrosen from the Dynasty Builders Podcast, part of the DLF family of podcasts.
Each week, we use film analysis, rookie breakdowns, ADP, analytic tools,
and a dose of humor
to ensure that you get actionable and practical advice from each and every episode to help you build a dynasty.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners will turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a clown with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Bacella, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 193. You didn't update the number of the Trade Addicts podcast.
You're supposed to update the number, Russ.
You said, Russ, put in the trade. I'll take care of the rest. Those weren't your exact words, but that's what I heard in my heart. A proud member of the DLF family of podcasts, and also a very joyous member of the Dynasty Addicts podcast network, the DAP network, if you will. And as always, we will. It's over, everybody. It's finally over. I'm trying to find words that aren't curse words, and they're not coming to my head right now. I have been ready for this season to be over, and it's finally over. Congratulations to all you jerks who won championships. Everyone else who was like me and lost so much. Communal shower cry, clothes optional. And it's just, oh man, this is literally my worst year of fantasy football ever.
It's, yeah, I thought I had it rough. I only won 4 out of 26, so but zero. So I actually, last year I won, it was probably my worst year. I won zero dynasty championship. I won one redraft championship. Had a pretty nice payout at least, but that was the only championship I won last year.
Yeah, I literally can't remember the last time I did not win a championship, and it hurts. It hurts everywhere. I was going to say my heart, then I almost said my brain, then I ran out of other things to say. So just, yeah. So there is going to be a lot of crying by me about this throughout the entire non-point scoring season, so you better buckle up. But hey, I've always made the joke that I am not the brains of whatever relationship I have with the podcast host. I'm the entertainment. Whoever's sitting next to me is absolutely the brains, and that's what Rocky's here for.
At least we don't have to hear about how you lost that one TA by 0.3 points.
Yes, I did not lose any championships by less than a point. That is a victory. You are thank you for the perspective, Rocky.
Silver lining.
Thank you. I feel so much better now. Whew. But yes, no, it has been, yes, no, that's awesome talking. It's been a very weird season, but it's fantasy football, so it's freaking awesome. And the misery is part of the fun, which is a very weird thing to say, but like, whew.
I will say too, this last week was kind of a great way to end it. After some of the previous weeks, especially that week 15, the first week of the playoffs, yep, was like the worst week of fantasy football ever. There were a ton of great games, high scoring players. It made for a lot of fun matchups, even if I didn't win as many as I was hoping I would. There was a lot of scoring going around, unlike a lot of weeks this season.
decent amount of teams in championship games getting bagels from Dawson Knox and Jeff Wilson.
That's true, though. Yes.
Two random players, no less. And a lot of people who were pivoting off of, like, Kelsey, you know, moved over to Knox, this guy right here. And it did not go well. Oh, I mean, I didn't have that in any championship games, but that's not really the point because screw it. That's the point. And I told you I was going to talk about it the entire freaking time until next season starts. And I'm holding myself to that. But no, we're going to move on. There's no news. There was no point in gathering news together because it don't matter no more. You know, we are no longer at the point of trading because something happened. It's beautiful. We are in the non-point scoring season. This is my favorite because points don't matter anymore. It's so much easier now to be trading on your beliefs, on your judgments, on the people you trust, who you listen to. It's all fake. It's all made up. You know, and like now's the time for discussions. Now's the point of the time for planting flags. Before we do, instead of doing like, okay, so here's a question. I'm pretty sure we asked this last year and things changed. Maybe what do you do after a season ends? Now, commission stuff aside, like I even tweeted out today, my hands were hurting from the amount of messages I had to send. Now I run 13 to 15 leagues. I don't even know. That's how bad it is. So I had to send a lot of freaking message. First place, second place, third place. You know. Hey, you won. What's your pay information? Do you want me to hold it over for next year? Yeah. Like, are you coming back? I was copying and pasting all of it, and it's still like my hands were stuck in a crazy looking formation. So putting that aside, because that's not necessarily what our show is about. What do you do when do you take time? Do you, I'm going to take a week. I'm going to take a month. I'm going to take 36 minutes and just, no, I'm done. No, not going to check a league, not going to make an offer. If I get an offer, it's going to stay until tomorrow. Do you take some time off or are you just like, nope, another day, another dollar. Let's keep going.
Yeah, no, I definitely take some time off. Not a ton, probably 2 or 3 weeks with that really trying to actively do anything. If I get an offer, I'll play around with it. I might throw a counter back or go look at their team or whatever. But Brian in the chat says I made several offers today.
My email must be broken, Ryan.
I think mine too. But yeah, I generally am not throwing out offers. I'm not doing that much in my leagues. Like you, I don't commission as many as you, but I commission about 7, including a home league. And I definitely am still in that process. I'm still putting out draft orders for leagues and sending out payouts, like you said. Do you want to keep the dues? Updating who's paid, all that kind of stuff. So that's where I'm at now. I won't even really think about making trade offers till probably the end of January. And also, I mentioned before, I've started the last year or two kind of trying to do the rookie thing, looking at them, not just listening to other people. I'll start doing that probably the end of January, early February too. Those are my two big things. Right around that point is also when I'll probably start looking for trades, seeing if maybe I can get picks cheaper than I will in like April. So things like that.
What about you, Drew, who just happened to pop up right as it was time for me to ask a question? What do you do now that the season's over? Do you take time away? Are you like, no, I need a break? Or do you just go right in and grind?
Yeah, I definitely need a little bit of a break here. I've been accumulating more leagues each year for the last 2 or 3 seasons. So just kind of did my final accounting to see how things turned out financially. And then I'll start looking at the rosters probably in a couple weeks or so. I'd love to enjoy the playoffs. The Bills are my home team, so they're still in it. So I'll watch them and support them as far as they go. And then if they get knocked out, then that'll be my cue to start things up for the next season. But I'm hoping I don't have to look at spreadsheets till February.
Oh man, that's my everyday like day job is looking at spreadsheets all day, every day. So, I mean, I'm out on that one. Yeah. I want to say that I would take time off and I didn't. I mean, I was stuck doing commish stuff all day today, so I didn't even have time to do anything. And I'm going to cough and I'm going to have to mute my microphone. So someone talk for a second. You failed me. Okay. Sorry.
I was trying. I started, but you interrupted me.
That's how we roll on the Trade Addicts podcast. I know I'm going to get bored next week and start to do it. But yeah, today was insanely overwhelming just trying to get all the stuff done, because you don't want to hold on to that. You don't want to hold on to other people's money. You like when you want to, when you win a league, you don't want to wait 4 or 5 days. You don't want to wait a week. Like, it's just like, go get it done. Like I'm at, man. Okay. So there's 9 trade addicts leagues. And then let's see, I run a DLF league, the DFPN league, Harry Potter, the 12 Olympians. So that's like about 13 leagues for, and well, the Harry Potter league's a freaking 48 teams. So that's pretty much 4 leagues. Part of me is like, I really should have paced this. I should have done like 4 leagues a day, you know, like, and actually, but like, it's really what it came down to is like, I wouldn't want to wait. Like, I'm not that kind of jerk that's going to start like, hey, commission, where's my money? Hey, commission, where's my money? But like, I want to get myself settled. I want it to be done. So I just powered through, did nothing of my day job for the first like 2 hours of the day and got it all done. But do you think there is an advantage to not taking time off? Like, do you think it's, well, or even a disadvantage? Like, if you were to start getting like one dude sends you 3 offers, you're going to be like, bro, it just ended. Let's calm down for a minute and just like reject on their own. Or like, or are you going to be just like another day? Like, oh, cool, I got an offer, let's check it out. Like, are either of you like needing like that time to step away? Like, is it in your best interest to not send offers?
I am probably not sending offers at this point unless I really think that I've got a bunch of league mates that are more fatigued than I am. I'm certainly open if something shows up in the inbox. I'm not going to let it sit and be that person, lets it expire. But I'm not going to be sending a bunch out unless there's really, you know, maybe somebody I really want to get that's injured right now before they start to get workout videos and stuff. So, yeah, I'd love to go and kick the tires on some Dobbins around the leagues that I'm in, especially as some of his rankings are falling, depending on who you look at. So if I can find a couple folks that maybe haven't been paying attention as much because maybe they got knocked out of the playoffs and they've really been out of it for a few weeks, but I'm not going out actively. I think, you know, if you're willing to grind and go after it, you could probably find some good deals out there. It's not important enough to me at this point to be that person right now.
Yeah, I agree with Drew. I don't think there is that much of an advantage or a disadvantage to taking. I mean, for me, it's just the mental aspect, especially like with us guys, you're in 20 some leagues, I'm in 30 some leagues. It's just such a grind the whole season, setting lineups, doing waivers, even doing trades sometimes, trying to get stuff done, you know, before the semis, before the finals and all that stuff. And I just need a mental break just to not have to think about it for a couple weeks. But I don't look at it as an advantage or a disadvantage. I don't think there's like you said, there's not a lot of news going on in January, even in like by March, there's free agency and things like that, or even around whenever the combine is, I guess in February, maybe picks, people start getting more amped up about picks. So maybe there's even that. But January, nothing's happening except the NFL. The only thing that might happen that's going to probably affect anything is if somebody, you know, tears their ACL or something. Other than that, we're not really going to get anything until February or March anyway.
Yeah, I will say, I think as I was talking and listening to you guys, I thought the one time that, depending on who you play with, I feel like it's probably the more casual leagues. When you get to the NFL playoffs, they're all island games, right? Like, yeah, Everyone's watching all of those games. I think that's probably a good time to sell some players. Like Sony Michel, what was that, like 2-3 years ago, where he just crushed in the playoffs and you were able to sell him for like a second or like a late first when you weren't able to for like a year and a half. So like, I think that might be, again, and your non-Twitter people leagues, because people on Twitter know what they're, you know, you're confronted with that information all day every day, but people that just know what they know by watching football and watching like Good Morning Football or whatever those shows are before the football games, or Fantasy Football Now or whatever, like maybe that's a good time to try and throw some offers out in your less competitive leagues. I'm trying to not be offensive to anyone, but yeah, home leagues. There you go. There you go. Yeah, except you're in my home league at this point. okay, well, I mean, that's, I mean, it was just a question that like always sticks in my head because I know I'm crazy and that, you know, to me, this stuff is 365. Like, I don't necessarily, again, if I wasn't a commish, I would probably would be sending offers today. It's like, oh, season's over, let's have fun. But like, you know, I'm tired and I'm old. But I was just curious to, you know, talk to the non-crazy people to, well, you're in more leagues than I am, so you might not be a non-crazy person.
I think
person.
I'm one of the crazy know. People. So,
yeah, you're one of the crazy people.
Maybe
so I want to talk to
non-crazy people.
What are you at, Drew? How many leagues?
I trimmed back to about 12 this year. So I think I was in 14 or 15 this last season. So I've got a couple that I've already said I'm out. You know, I've left the team in as good a spot as I could, try to move some old folks into picks for the next person or for the dispersal. But yeah, I think I'm at 12. I don't mind to get into a couple more if I can get into maybe a couple different formats that I haven't been in yet. But for the typical dynasty leagues, I feel like 10 to 12 is kind of a sweet spot for me now. I love the constant piece of it. So I know we had some, you know, trade deadline or no trade deadline conversations on some other pods and Twitter feeds and stuff. And I'm all for all year round. If you want to be all year, you should be able to do it all year. You're paying for entertainment. So let's have fun all year. But yeah, that's where I am at this point. I've yet to catch up to you. I think it sounds like Russ, you and I together maybe add up to where Rocky is.
Yes, that is actually pretty accurate. But also keep your life open for one more orphan takeover. So, you know, we'll talk about that later. I'm working on paring down. Like my goal is in my head, my goal was to only play in leagues that I run. But I'm in too many leagues I like that I don't want to leave. So I don't know if under 20 is a reality, just based on the fact, again, that I run like 13 to 15 leagues. But I think that's my goal, is to hit like that 18. So I have my one keeper league at home and then SFB and I can call it 20. And then my wife might not be as mad at me.
I'm very curious I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in 12 leagues anymore. I'm wondering if I cut back down, would I get the itch or would I be just be like, oh yeah, this is great. I can send 50 trades a day in all 12 leagues now or something. So
guess you won't know till you try. Right. And worst case scenario, you could join like 15 leagues in a
year.
There
you go. The next year I just bump right back up.
Okay, well, let's do trades first, because we're going to do the TA trades, because now we're talking about trades that happened before the championship games. So these are going to be very point skewed. So we might as well get them out of the way, because I don't want to talk about points anymore. So Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception and 0.05 points for return yardage, except for TA1, because that's my bad. TA1 trade we have. This one happened again before last week. Travis Kelce and a late second for Noah Fant and a late first. Now I realized after I was typing this out, they're the same team's picks. Yeah, they're so it's 12 spots in between. So my question for you, how did Kelce even do this week? That's my question. Like I didn't have to look at any of my teams with Kelce because I got knocked out on all of them.
5 for 25 and a touchdown.
That is 5 for 25.
Pretty mild.
Is that
even?
Yeah. So without premium, that's 13.5. But in Trade Addicts, it's like good another about 15 ish.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
16 points. Yeah.
Okay, but I want to I can't frame anything towards points anymore just because my brain's not there anymore. Is Kelce done? Like, are we? No, Kelsey's not done. I'm rewording that. Are we dropping Kelce this far? Now, Fant is good. Don't get me wrong. Like, Fant seems to be that safe tier under like the main guys. Like, Fant is like the one of the next two or three names you'll say and be like, okay. And especially, you know, I'm crossing my fingers that Russell Wilson goes to Denver. Other people are Aaron Rodgers to go there. So, like, chances are they do something that is not Teddy Bridgewater, which can only mean good things for their offense. So, like, let's pretend this wasn't for a championship game. What do you think of this trade, Drew?
I've been a pretty big Fant supporter since he came out. So I would be very tempted to take that trade, especially if the rest of my roster is aging. I know Rocky is more prone to take some of the older players and push each year. I would be okay to probably reset here and take Fant in the first. In hindsight, Fant outscored Kelce this week. So if you made the trade, you probably did better. I like his runway. Like you said, I think it can only get better, even if it's marginally better at quarterback. They've got some good young weapons there. So it's going to be, it has potential to be a really good offense moving forward. It's a competitive division where they're going to be throwing more games than not. So especially in the premium that gives that, you know, buffers the floor a little bit for decent tight ends. So I would take that and be okay with that as a Fant fan.
Mine's the point of view on this is probably a little colored by the fact that I'm lower on Fant than I think Drew is. I have him in like an, I know people, I think, group him sort of in that Goddard type tier, but I have him slightly below that. I think Goddard, like someone like Goddard, for instance, could get to that, we're kind of where Hawk is now, where he's one of the top guys, but not the elite guys. And
I think Goddard's there already.
Yeah, that's basically, I mean, I think once Ertz left, he was definitely there. Yeah. He's producing week after week, and I think that's going to continue. Whereas I'm not sure that's going to ever happen with Fant. Like you said, maybe with a better quarterback. But even then, you got Sutton to contend with. You got Judy to contend with. You apparently have Patrick now to contend with also because he's extended. So just the amount of guys there concerns me with Fant. I don't think he's good enough that he's going to command the targets over those other guys. So I think the value would be pretty fair without the second. I think I'd still rather have Kelce. I think in 4 years from now, Fant's going to be producing more than Kelce for the next 2 years. I still think Kelsey's going to be outproducing him, even though he's not going to be Travis Kelce like he was in 2020 for sure. But even this year, 2 years from now, he probably's not going to be that. But I mean, we are seeing a little bit of decline. 5 for 25 isn't that out of the realm of what he's been doing some of the weeks this year. He's had some of those big weeks. He had the 10 for 190 or whatever it was.
It was like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. But he's definitely had plenty of 3 for 40s and a touchdown and things like that. So I think we're going to see more of that going forward, but you get plenty of that from Fant too. I'll still take Kelce for 2 years.
Yeah. But I think this is a trade we're going to see a lot, especially like Drew said, on those teams where you're like, all right, man, either I need to get rid of Kelce because I thought I needed to get rid of him to win, or it's just like, I'm aging out a bit. Let me take an age step back. I think this is the kind of trade we're going to see a lot. And I will throw the spoiler out there. It worked for this guy. He won trading away Kelce. So this is the 112 and the 212 are the two picks we're talking about. Congrats, John.
nice.
Yeah. Like, first of all, hey, man, if you win, that's all that matters. It's worth it if you win. But like, knowing that it's the exact 12 spots apart, I don't care that the second is there. You know, the 212, whatever, man. Like, so Fant in a first, the 112, I'm not thrilled with it, the value-wise, but I think this is a trade we're going to see a lot of. Either the Goddards, I like Gesicki, I think, way too much. Like, because I keep throwing those two names right next to each other, but I don't think they really are that next to each other. You know, but like Knox and Freiermuth and these kind of guys, the younger guys who are maybe that level and a first for Kelce. You might even be a, take a first to get to Waller anymore. But I guess that's a different story, right? okay, let's go to our next trade. This is Trade Addicts 3. Okay, so yeah, Joe went crazy and it worked because he won. The first one was he traded away Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Hopkins, Dalton Schultz for Dalvin Cook, Deontay Foreman, and Mark Ingram. Whew. Okay, so
funny Kareem Hunt, a funny thing is Cook stunk this week, and Joe still won.
Yeah, okay, so that's actually a very good point, and one that I necessarily was hope I was going to remember to bring up eventually. For all the people that argue that trading during the playoffs taints what happens, everyone always thinks every trade works out. Like Dalvin Cook didn't do well, and he traded away Hunt, Hopkins, and Schultz, guys he probably wasn't starting. But that's not always the case. You know, people can many times I went to trade for that big name, the guy who had the great matchup, and like maybe they scored two more points, but I lost by 46. What's the hell's the difference? Like, or many, many times, like three-ish years ago, I remember it was Julio Jones, man. He had the cake matchup. I traded for him and I overpaid and I'm like, let's do this. You just went like 2 for 25. Oh, crap. And, I lost. And, like, I feel like that's something that, not that people don't think of, but like, it's just like, oh, whatever. No, we're not going to talk about it, 'cause we have to talk about how bad not having a trade deadline is. And patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You could watch me wagging my finger at the camera as I say that. Okay. Now, yes, I am many, many, many times when we talk about this part of the year going to talk bad about trade deadlines. If you like them, that's awesome. Play with them. This is just me. Like, the, again, I don't league shame. The only thing is wrong is two tight ends. That is wrong and you should not do it.
I don't league shame either, but don't play with trade deadlines.
Okay, and what I love about this was last year, he was arguing
for them. I was on the other side. And yes. I saw the light. Everyone needs to see the light, so I'm trying to convert people. I don't care about – I'm not shaming, but I'm like that Jehovah's Witness knocking at your door.
Because no trade deadlines. I see the light.
Yeah, in the Superflex Army Leagues, I was trying to make a push in the title game to either get Dalvin Cook or Nick Chubb because we just had terrible running backs. And we were looking at mortgaging, you know, two firsts or DeAndre Hopkins. We had Hunt as well. Fortunately, none of the other guys took us up on the offer, but we still lost by 30 points or something. And neither of those guys would have gotten us close, and it would have felt terrible sitting here. So just to have the option, though, is exciting, and it keeps the dialogue going. And that's what you want in the leagues, right, is activity. You want people – wheeling and dealing and trying to figure out, okay, how much can I get out of this value now versus 3 weeks ago? So there's no good reason, unless you don't trust the people in your league, in which case find a new league.
Here's another example too. I made a trade.
No,
with
hold on. No, because we're going to talk about this first. It's a people problem, not a rule problem.
Yes.
The end. Go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I made a trade with Drew. I think it was right during the first playoff week. I could be wrong on that, but I traded Amon-Ra St. Brown and a late second for Kareem Hunt. And this was like, I think, right after Kareem Hunt came back from the injury, before he got injured again. Oh, no. and meanwhile, Amon-Ra St. Brown has been going nuts. It might have run me. Would have won me my game this week, I think.
Oh, no.
I was in the title game. I mean, I made it to the title game still. This happened a couple of weeks ago. But had I still had Amon-Ra St. Brown, I probably would have won this week. I wasn't even starting Kareem Hunt because he wasn't even playing. So this is just, like you said, people always look at it like you're going to sell out and you're going to buy a championship. And meanwhile, Drew, the rebuilding team in that league, is the guy who made out big time on that. He's got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just in like the 3 weeks since we made that trade, his value has skyrocketed, and he got a second. And I have Kareem Hunt, who barely played for me.
And completely unrelated to anything we've talked about, but just because I started singing a Disney song. If anyone listening has not on Disney Plus watched the Olaf Presents shorts. Now, I see there's a walker behind you, Drew, so I'm guessing you have young kids.
We do.
You need to watch them. It is amazing. There's only five or six of them, but it's really just Olaf describing what happens in movies. And it's fantastic. Like, fall on the floor laughing. That kind of good. Back to the show.
Duly noted.
Our next trade is... I'd put this on here. Jimmy GQ and Cam Akers for Derek Carr and Damian Harris. Okay. What's with them bringing Akers back? Like, and like, was it a contractual thing? Like, did he make money or something for them to be activating him?
He got his, by coming back with three games left, he gets his year and pension vested for this year.
Excellent. Okay, good. Yeah. So they're not even thinking about playing him. Awesome.
I don't think so. Maybe.
But it was great. Like, his running videos were still pretty amazing for what we think of a guy who tore his Achilles and would be done forever. But yeah, I think that's the only reason I left it on here is because I saw Akers on here. Jimmy GQ, do you think he starts somewhere next season?
I do. I've been saying that for a while. I think he's good enough that he's going to start somewhere. I don't think it's going to be in San Francisco. I heard on another podcast, and I always do this. I couldn't remember which one it was because I listened to many. But I heard someone mentioning the idea of him in Carolina, which I think could actually make a lot of sense.
Oh, my God, no. Just please Just give someone good for DJ Moore, please. Please, 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 please.
I mean, he's supported Debo this year and Kittle. I mean, maybe he can, even if he's not great for himself, maybe he can support DJ Moore. And
all right, that is a very fair point, but I still won't be happy about it. Okay, yeah, we're not going to talk about that anymore. I don't know why I left that on there. So on to TA6, where we have Antonio Gibson and a late third for Josh Jacobs. This one hurts my brain and my soul. Is Antonio Gibson good?
Yes.
Okay. Is Josh Jacobs good?
He's all right.
He's pretty good.
Okay. Who would you rather have on your teams?
It's funny. These are both two guys that the coaches won't throw to them.
Yeah, right.
Even though they're good.
Remember that first week where Gibson got like 15 targets and we're like, it's here.
He's actually had a couple random games there where he's gotten like 6 or 7 catches, but then it goes away the next week. And Jacobs has gotten more too since Drake got hurt. But overall, that's what's the first thing I thought about when I saw these two names. It's like the two guys that were great passing catch guys in college, and the coaches won't use them that way. But I'm not adding anything to Gibson for Jake. I wouldn't take Jacobs in a third for Gibson. I don't know if I'd take Jacobs in a second for Gibson. I do think Gibson's good. They just need the offense to improve. And I think the shin was a big issue this year for the first half of the year. So I think that affected his production for like 8-9 games.
I mean, Jacobs actually had a good week 17. Oh, it's because Gibson ended up on the COVID list and didn't play. So that's why. Yeah. So, okay. So given that situation, let's get people ready for next year. Right. So you're about to get into the championship. Is this the kind of move you make? Are you willing to sacrifice the better player that you think, even pay a third on top if you think thirds are worth anything, to go get a guy who you think is a good matchup?
It's easy in hindsight to say yes.
And again, J Mike won. So it worked. It was worth it.
I still like Jacobs. I think he's got a quarterback who's, maybe a little bit underrated, disrespected, who's been there for how many years? 5 years now, 6 years. I don't know that he's going anywhere anytime soon. I think every year we wonder, is he on his last day with the team?
No.
I think there's just too much to figure out in Washington right now. They haven't even figured out their name yet, right? They've got that coming up in February. So it's two organizations that have been in some turmoil or continue to be in some turmoil. So it's tough to really like either of these situations. I get that Gibson's probably the better athlete. On the other hand, I do go back sometimes and look at, Jacobs is a guy that went to Alabama and Gibson went to Memphis, right? So there's something there as well, when they're scouting these guys when they're younger. So I'm fine making that move, especially if I know Gibson's going to be out. I'll make the move for the guy that I think could be, an RB1 or a high-end RB2 this week, if that's what I need.
Yeah, I was just about to comment on that. Josh Jacobs scored less than 10 fantasy points once this season. Like, that's pretty solid for a guy that doesn't have much value left anymore, but I guess is the perfect candidate for exactly what happened, right? Get rid of the guy that's not going to play, and you get your safe RB2 lined up in there, and you win the freaking championship after owning the entire first round of the draft, Jay Mike. Brought him on the wrong week, I guess, right? Imagine having him here now. All right, let's trade Addicts 8. There was a trade of Tom Brady for Ryan Tannehill, Darnell Mooney, and Michael Thomas. Honestly, I think this trade is exactly right for me. Like, I don't know what you guys... Actually, I want to ask afterwards what you guys think, what is going on with Michael Thomas. But like, if I'm in the championship game and I have Ryan Tannehill as my QB2, I want to feel a little safer than that. And I'm definitely willing to throw two guys that I probably will not. Well, one of them you definitely won't be starting. And Mooney did catch a touchdown, I think, but are you feeling great about starting Darnell Mooney? Probably not. To go get Tom Brady. Now, whether if it works out for you or not, those are two completely different things, but it's about how you feel in here. And again, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. I'm pointing to my heart. So
this did work, by the way. This, I believe, I traded Brady to Dwight, who won the title game by like 4 points or something on Baker. I think Baker was his QB2 or something. I forget what it was, but I know he won it towards the end of the game yesterday. And I believe that's who I traded Brady to. So, and Tannehill, he scored like double digit points, I think, more than Tannehill did.
Oh, okay, there you go. And also, I think Matt was one of the teams that had Jeff Wilson and Dawson Knox in their lineup.
He also had Antonio Brown in his lineup.
Oh, no. Oh, poor Matt. What do you do with that? At that point, you're just like, no, it wasn't meant to be. That's cool.
You take your shirt off and your gloves off and you walk away.
He's still in it for the fourth quarter of that game. Like, Matt,
like, versus, but yeah. What do you do? Like, you just like, no, okay, cool, man. No. Just walk away. Nothing you could do. Okay, but first, you guys, Tom Brady's coming back. You still think, right?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, me too. So, like, it's not like you're trading for a dead asset. At least I don't think. Michael Thomas, do you guys have any faith that Michael Thomas is going to come back into the NFL? Probably. Well, I'd imagine he's going to a new team. You think he could be like a decent wide receiver too, or are you writing him off like you just don't want him on your teams?
You can go first, Drew.
I moved him everywhere that I've got him in the last 12 months, and I've been very pleased with the returns that I've gotten.
That's cool.
I think he can be a wide receiver too. I'm not super high on him either. I got that side in this. I had Brady. I was eliminated in the semis by Dwight, I believe, and then traded him Brady. He sent me Tannehill, Mooney, and something else, and I actually threw Thomas in because the something else was, I thought, going to be worth much less. It was something in the third range, I think, either a player or a third or something like that. And I threw Michael Thomas in there to see if he would do it, and he did. I think I can sell Michael Thomas before next season. He'll probably go to another team. He'll probably get a bump. And I like Mooney. I don't think he's ever going to be, you know, anything great, but I think he can be a low-end two type of guy that you can start on a regular basis in a start 10 league. So, Brady is going to play for six more years, so I guess I maybe should have held on to him. But
yeah, you might as well trade Joe Burrow for Tom Brady because Tom Brady can play for longer. I don't have any shares of Michael Thomas. I haven't had any for like 2 years now, but I think I want a just in case share. So I might come at you for that one.
Yeah, I think I have. I think this is only my second. I like Drew. I've tried to move him in places where I've had him. I have one other league where I have him. I think that's it.
I think he tops out in like a Jarvis Landry range or something like that if he comes back and goes to a decent team, which could be very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So it's fine to have that lottery pick. But if he's one of your top three receivers or something, then you got to do something.
Yeah, you don't want him there anymore. We have another Rocky special in Hunter Renfrow for the 201. And I mean, I know Rocky's answer because we talked about this before we started recording. But Rocky, how'd you feel about trading? Oh, okay, so both of these teams were out of the playoffs, by the way.
Yes.
You know, this was not like for a championship move. This was just a random trade. The guy who earned the 201 traded it away to go get Hunter Renfrow. So how'd you feel about that one, Rocky?
I felt good. I mean, I told you this before the show. I had traded for Renfrow the week before. I told the story on last week's TA. So if you guys haven't listened, that could listen to it, but I had some
show if I'm not on it. There's no reason to listen to the show.
I made a snafu and I was scrambling like crazy. I was also really injury depleted, and then on top of it, I'd not started AJ Brown last week when he went off in the semi. So I was scrambling to try and win because that was the one seed, and my team was falling to pieces. And I made a number of trades, including one that got me Renfrow. But I'm not a big Renfrow guy. I was trying to get pieces that could score for me. And after I made that trade, Maddie, who traded me the 201, actually said to me that remind me in the off season to overpay you for Hunter Renfrow. He didn't wait. I hadn't even said anything to him yet. But after I got eliminated, he sends this over, and I was like, yeah, sure. I think that, you know, from hearing all the Debbie guys talk, that late first, early second, like a lot of years, is going to be heavy wide receiver territory. There's apparently a lot of good wide receivers coming out, and I'll take my chance that I can get a better wide receiver than Hunter Renfrow at 201 or trade it for something I like better than Hunter Renfrow. But But yeah, I mean that the 201 is like that T. Higgins, Michael Pittman kind of range in previous years, and I would definitely take a prospect like that, let alone knowing what we know about T. Higgins and Michael Pittman now over Hunter Renfrow.
You see, it's really funny that you said, you know, the T. Higgins spot, because I was like, yo, maybe I'll take that from you. Go grab me some Justin Ross, baby. Hashtag, yeah. Okay, let me throw it out there. I have no idea if Justin Ross is actually good. You know, I've been hearing a lot of mixed things about him and about the QB play, but yeah, hashtag Team Clemson, big wide receiver, baby. That's what it is. And then Jake shows up in the chat, Renfrow or Mike Williams, pitting my two boys, you know. Well, I guess Renfrow doesn't necessarily fit because he's not a big-bodied wide receiver, but...
I'd rather have Renfrow in there.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, okay, let's I think Mike Williams is on a new team next year.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
You know, clearly you like him, any wide receiver playing with Justin Herbert, right? But I don't know, that he was doing so great, and then all of a sudden they didn't throw to him like they were before, and it's not that he got bad out of nowhere. So like, I'm ready for him to go somewhere and start over. So clearly it's going to depend on where he lands, but Renfrow is easily the safer option. Mike Williams likes to get hurt a little bit, and Renfrow's the possession wide receiver on a team that doesn't really have many people to throw to. So unless the Raiders go out and get like three wide receivers and Darren Waller stays healthy, I think Renfrow's going to be fine. But honestly, they're probably pretty close to each other in a lot of rankings slash trade calculators, that it's probably pretty close. 201 or Mike Williams?
201.
I would rather have the 201. I'd rather have Renfrow than the 201.
Yeah, that makes me want to cry a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
I'm a Renfrow guy.
Okay, so we're going to... I guess they're all the same league, so it doesn't matter what order we go in, but I want to save that other one for last. Let's do Mark Andrews... Let's screw it. This is Mark... I'm not going to talk about fourths and fifths. This is Mark Andrews for Pat Freiermuth at 23 first and 23 third. Is Mark Andrews the tight end too?
Yes.
I'm comfortable with that.
I spent so much time saying I'm not a Mark Andrews guy, and it's just like, why are you doing this to me, Mark Andrews? Why are you being really good right now? Like,
there. We were both like, he's not... tight end premium doesn't help Mark Andrews. He's not going to get enough volume for tight end premium to matter.
And all of a sudden, there it all is. Like, is everything going to change next year when they have an actual running game, when they actually have an actual running back, not the 47-year-old Devonta Freeman? He's probably like 29. But like, is it going to change when they have J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, or whatever, like a few usable running backs that they like to often do? Bateman is another year in the league, a little bit better. You know, Marquise Brown has his ups and downs, but he's still pretty good. Is it going to be the same next year for Mark Andrews? Honestly, I don't think it matters anymore. I just think everyone else has declined enough that Mark Andrews doing what he did now with his age, I think he's the tight end too. And it makes me feel weird to say it because I still want to put Kelsey at one, and I don't think I could do it anymore, which means I just dropped Kelsey to three right now. And that, again, like, I'm hurting myself a lot this show, and I don't like it, guys.
Well, when Hawk gets a decent quarterback, he'll be the tight end too.
Okay, I feel positive. I like talking to you, Rocky. You're making me feel good today. Okay, so but let's actually get to the trade, which I forgot because I've went on a tangent. So Mark Andrews for Freiermuth and a first. Okay, again, I'm going to not talk about the trade for a second. Is Freiermuth in that next tier for you guys? Because in DLF ADP, he is tight end 7. Pitts, Kelsey, Kittle, Waller, Andrews, Hawk, and then Freiermuth.
Wow.
He's worked his way up there.
I don't think you said Goddard, right?
No, Goddard is...
Yeah, I think I'd put Goddard ahead of him, but I'd probably have him at tight end. I'd have those guys, Goddard, and then Freiermuth.
Yeah, 7 is Freiermuth, Goddard, Fant, Knox, Gesicki, yeah. Schultz.
Yeah.
And then we hit like Ertz and Gronk and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'd rather have Freiermuth than all those guys you said after, except Goddard.
Yeah, I think they're all in that same... Uh-huh. Like, it's that next tier, right? Like... I know Rocky and I still have Hawk up there with, you know, so it's like a top 5 to 6. But, you know, I know Rocky said he didn't like Fant, but like Fant, Goddard, Freiermuth, like those guys that are parts of their offenses. I think that's the chunk. And I do think Freiermuth is there, in which case, I mean, at 23 first, like the draft class is going to be better. It sucks that we still have to wait a year to use it. So I guess this is pretty much along the lines of, you know, the Kelsey move, except Andrews was scoring. Yeah. So I don't know. No, you're right. Yeah, this is Andrews, and I guess
I think so too.
I mean, this was Vito trading for Andrews. Man, never mind. I made the point where not all trades work out. Almost every trade worked out. Wow. Like, even when Dalvin didn't score for Joe, he still freaking won. All right. I mean, let's. Okay, but.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, hearing those tight ends names you said after, are we underrating Schultz? I mean, I think people forget this guy's pretty damn young too, and he's been a tight end one. I believe he's a tight end one this year. Tight end one 2 years in a row. So
it's really funny that we're probably still holding Blake Jarwin against him.
I think so. And I guess maybe the three receivers, but yeah, Gallup's not going to be there next year. And I would assume
if you had to guess points per game, what tight end do you think he ended up? Like, what rank in tight ends did he end up?
Schultz?
Yeah.
Nine. I was going to say top 10.
Seven. He was seventh.
That's what I'm saying. He was a tight end one in last year, too. Yeah. And in 2020.
He was like the end of a tier. Andrews, including week 17, because that's what I'm looking at right now. Mark Andrews was the tight end one, but he and Travis Kelce both over 20 points per game. Kittle with 18, Gronk and Waller with 16, Hawk with 15, Schultz with 15, and then Pitts with 13. So like there was a little bit of a drop there. And then there's a lot of people with 13 and 11. So, Dak might be right.
Dak seems to love throwing to his tight end too. Remember, he was throwing to the, you know, Jason Witten's corpse there at the before Schultz and Jarwin showed up. So,
and like Schultz is very Witten-esque, if you ask me. So maybe you're right. Maybe we should be beefing up Schultz a little bit. Look at Rocky. He's the smart guy. All right, so we saved maybe not the best for last, but the biggest deal trade for the last. Again, okay, I can't say again.
Two non-playoff teams.
Yes, because I said again, like we talked about it before, but it was before we started recording. So it's not again for you guys, but it's again for me and Rocky. These are between two non-playoff teams. So the trade is Jonathan Taylor for Kadarius Toney, a mid-first, a late-first, and a 23-first. And yes, I was just too lazy to figure out the real numbers, even though now we know what all the picks are. Whew. So I guess, Drew, let me ask first. Two firsts this year, a first next year, and a flyer wide receiver. Is that enough to get Jonathan Taylor off your team?
No.
Rocky?
I think three first plus value makes sense, but I want some of that in players, not in-
Yeah, you're there's a lot of context needed in what you just said to make it okay. Like, if you told me one of them was like the 102, that changes a lot. If you were to tell me that, yeah, one of them was T. Higgins, you know, one of them was like a very strong wide receiver, maybe not Jamar Chase or anything, but someone who is very solid and very good. This reeks of, I don't want a running back on my team anymore. And I'm sorry for whoever did this, but yeah, that's a little rough for me.
Was it Ryan?
Yeah. So, I'm glad he went to bed. I get it. I get that you have in your head three firsts is awesome. And as we always say, no trade is your last. So if you, especially you're in a trade addicts league, you're going to do something with those picks. So, but still, there's always that. Trading studs is so hard these days because you go on Twitter and you see these, well, I just got six firsts for Jonathan Taylor and it was like easy. Like, and I think all you guys should be getting this. Oh yeah. I just got five firsts in a second. Like this was, yeah, you're right. Oh, I only got three firsts and one of them was next year. like you don't really see, like you see all these trades go online and you're like, that doesn't really happen, does it? And like you, then you get three firsts and you feel sad about it. Like, I don't think you feel sad about this. I don't know if I could personally pull the trigger.
Yeah.
Like the only trade I've made for JT, I think this year, was in a league where I think I had like five firsts at the time and I was doing better than I expected. And I ended up, before you scream at me, Russ, this was kind of when T. Higgins had dipped a little. I think it's a good price. T. Higgins and two firsts. It was a mid and a late.
That's great for you. Yeah.
Would you trade JT for that?
Would I trade?
Would you throw in your love for JT? I mean, for Higgins.
I like Higgins a lot, so it would be very close for me.
Yeah, I thought that was a pretty fair one. But
I did one earlier in a league that I'm rebuilding in a home dynasty where I'm trying to get myself out of letting great players just die on my bench. So I gave JT up. I'm a big Javonte fan. So this is before Javonte had his solo game. So I got Javonte and then what turned out to be the 108 and the 112. And I still have mixed emotions about it. As much as I like Javonte, it hurt my heart to see JT go to the title game and win it all this year.
I do like that for you. I mean, as much as we, you know, JT's essentially like the 101 of non-quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not Christian McCaffrey either, though. I mean, he's great, but he's not giving you like 27 to 30 points every single. He's having some of those games, mm-hmm. but he's averaging in the low 20s.
22.5.
Yeah. So he's not a lock to just blow. He's not like ridiculous like the way Christian McCaffrey is. So I can see Javonte approaching that if he gets that job to himself next year. Maybe not quite as good as JT, but I could see Javonte in the 18 to 20 range. So you're losing 2 to 4 points and you got two firsts on top. I like that.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you fall to 18.5 points a game, are you going to be sad about getting two firsts on top of that? Probably.
Yeah.
I won't.
And honestly, wrong. The more I think about it, the more I probably would do that T. Higgins and two first deal. Again, only because if it was in like a casual league or a home league where there's not a lot of movement, I probably wouldn't. But if it's in a league that I chose to be in, which means it's a very active league, I probably would, because I think I could do fun stuff with those first and I get T. Higgins on my team.
I thought you would.
Yeah. So that's all the trades we have. And we no longer on this show have to talk about trades that have anything to do with points for
Russ is so happy.
Like 8 months. I love it. I hate points. They're the worst. Okay, so let's get to we actually had a couple of traded listener questions. I just combined listener questions and trade addicts trades. It's 10:40 already. That's right. We start a little late. My bad on that one. Okay, let's get to the listener questions. At KP Poker KP, because I'm a pro at saying that handle now. What is a realistic price to I should have used that one before. What is a realistic price to sell JT during the non-point scoring season? Won the ship on his back, but need to add some depth and love selling running backs at their peak value.
I think we kind of answered that.
Wait. That's the worst answer, but it's the right one. Selling running backs is easily the best the closer you get to scoring points. But if you can get that super solid offer of multiple firsts and a solid player coming back, and don't forget, if they're 22 picks, they're still going to gain value regardless of what we think of this draft. People are going to find players they like.
Good.
Yep.
Say it again.
It's not going to be 48 bad players in this, yes, you know, in your 4-round rookie draft. So,
yeah, pick a terrible draft class. There were still a couple of good players, and there's still always going to be players people fall in love with. Like, I'm going to be that a-hole that's going to overpay for mid-seconds to go get Justin Ross in every single league. And just because it's me, and I'm not the only person that feels that way about certain people. Like, I know plenty. There was a couple of people that overpaid for Amon-Ra St. Brown in a couple of leagues. You know, there's people that even just like, oh, the Browns got this guy, I'm going to go get that guy. And then all of a sudden someone's paying a second for Anthony Schwartz. I mean, weird things happen. So don't not trade for picks just because we don't think it's a good draft class. I just talked a lot really fast. Okay. But yes, absolutely. Waiting is the right answer on selling Jonathan Taylor, but two first and a very good player, I think, is absolutely a good price. It's not the Godfather deal you see on the internet. And by the way, I brought it up before, but forgot to actually talk about it. T. Higgins is wide receiver 16 on December DLF ADP. And above him, I mean, Terry McLaurin, DJ Moore, Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs. Like, I think all these guys drop. Like, I mean, there's a decent chance T. Higgins is top 13, 13, 14.
I think so.
And like this, the higher people get on Burrow, the higher people are going to have to be on Higgins because they can't afford Chase. know? and sadly, the cheaper option, go get Tyler Boyd. But the cheaper option in T. Higgins is still pretty awesome. But we're not gonna, like, I'm like choosing the specific things to talk about that have absolutely nothing to do with what we were supposed to be talking about. Man, this is what happens when I miss a week of podcasting, by the way. Like, I just, like, I have so much of it pent up that it's just like,
all coming out at once.
Yeah. Next question. At Tequila Operator, shout out, man. He is one of my boys from TKO Breaks. He's in, oh, if you like football cards and you like box breaks, you don't know what box breaks are, you want to learn? DM me. We have TKO Breaks at TKO underscore breaks on the Twitters. Football cards, baby. What was I going to read? Buy low candidates this offseason. Stashes from 2021 class that you have confidence in to make the leap. More opportunities in 2022. Okay, so I'm going to name one that's not super low or anything. But Trevor Lawrence has to do better next year, right? Like, I wonder, like, I want someone to do a startup right now, a Superflex startup, and tell me where Trevor Lawrence goes. Because I was having this argument before. He's not a first round pick anymore, is he?
Like, I would hope not.
Exactly. Let's see if they uploaded the Superflex for December.
Yeah, there is December. Yeah, I don't have it up, but
yeah, I just grabbed it. And I'm gonna have to. Oh, here we go. He is 11th overall ranked. He's number 11 overall. His ADP is 14. He's the QB 8. That seems a little high.
A little rich for my blood.
Yep.
But, like, Trevor Lawrence is good. Uh-huh. Trevor Lawrence's team is bad. Trevor Lawrence's coach was so bad that he couldn't finish his first season. Of course, there were other extenuating circumstances that were involved, but that just leads to the bigger example of things were not right down there. And while Jacksonville doesn't ever really seem to have the greatest environment, it can't get worse. So I if you can get, do you think you can get Trevor Lawrence for a single first right now? Like Trevor Lawrence
for the super flex?
I don't think for a single first, no.
I don't think so. I mean, okay. I'm willing to try.
Yeah, right. Okay, but let's say an early and a late. Would you take Trevor Lawrence or an early and late first?
I traded him during the playoffs. This was an early playoffs, actually, though, that I think the title game was in week, like, 15 or something, multi-copy league, and there's, like, games after that. But anyway, I traded him to try and win a title. I traded Brady and, or I traded Lawrence for Brady and the 109. So I think that's kind of cheap. Again, that was trying to get points. That was part of it. And that was also the week, I think, that Brady played the Saints. So that worked out real well. But if you remember, he got shut out.
Yeah. Like that was the first thing that came to my mind, because, again, I was talking about it pretty recently, that people might be down on the player instead of understanding he's a rookie. None of the rookie quarterbacks did great. Like, Mac Jones did good. Don't get me wrong.
Hey, Davis but Mills.
Superstar. I apologize. But, like, we did not have a Herbert or anything, or even a Burrow, you know, this year. So that's cool. Let people think that Lawrence is bad and see if you can get him for even two firsts. To me, is cheap. Especially, again, in a draft class we don't like. So, yeah, maybe you sell the running back 2 and the wide receiver 3 for Trevor Lawrence. But it's a super.
So are you saying you would give JT for Javonte and Trevor Lawrence in a super flex league?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Okay, so here's – we've talked about this before, so it's not like earth-shattering news. I think Javonte walks into being a top 7 running back by default. I think a lot of these older guys age out or injury themselves out, and there's no one else to bring in besides Javonte, who, especially when we have the glimmer in our eyes of Melvin Gordon being gone. So I do believe Javonte is good. I do believe he's going to score good points, even if Melvin Gordon is still there. don't like let people freak out if Melvin Gordon is still there and go by Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. But yes, honestly, I pretty much do, because let's pretend that Trevor Lawrence is a second round startup pick. I mean, that's what, 2 second round startup picks for in a super flex league for what, the 104, 105? That's not super out of the realm of possibility. Yeah. Again, picks and trades and all that don't equal players and trades. I get it. But just to give a little bit of context in another context.
Some ideas to think through there. I like that.
Yeah. Is there any other players? Are there any players that you guys have in mind for guys who you think may have underperformed, but you think can come back in a better way?
There was one guy I was looking at because he said stashes. So I was looking like deeper. Mm-hmm. And one guy that came to mind for me was Josh Palmer. He was a fairly decent draft capital. I think he was a third rounder by the Chargers. And, you know, as you said, Mike Williams is leaving. He's had the occasional touchdown here or there. He hasn't done much this year. But I mentioned, I think, on a previous episode, we were talking about the good spots or fantasy mm-hmm. spots for people to land or things like that. So if they don't bring in some big name or some big draft pick, I could see him making a significant jump. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be like a wide receiver one or something, but he's a guy that nobody's really talking much about that I could see having a big boost in value and possibly production if they don't bring in some big name, you know, free agent or like yeah. a first round pick this year or something.
Yes, third round, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, similar range. I've got Nico Collins stashed a couple places.
That's the name I was looking at. Yeah,
I thought of him too.
We'll see what happens there if whether Mills gets another run at it or if they bring somebody in. But yeah, he's one that I picked up late with some of those throw-in picks that I'll keep around for another season, see what happens.
Yeah, I think Ramondre Stevenson is a good name, and not because I think he's great and not because I think he's going to do well that much in the future, but I think we're going to run into the same situation where, like, the Sony Michel, like I was talking about it, whenever the hell that was. I think that was the show, and I think that was today. It's going to be one of those, like, he's probably going to look good towards the end of the season, especially on a team where Bill Belichick is fine letting his quarterback throw the ball three times. And yes, I get it. There was wind and all of that crap, but whatever. It's still, it doesn't matter.
I think...
Yeah, like he's a great stash for now. Oh, sorry, bud. He's a great stash for now and to trade, like I said before, mm-hmm. like in the playoff, like when the real NFL playoffs start, like I think he's a very good trade. Oh, there was one other wide receiver. Like, I still kind of want Kadarius Toney. I don't want to pay for him, but he's just so much fun to watch. And if the dude can stay healthy, I think he's...
He had injury issues going back to college, though, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
I think he has.
Yeah.
Like, okay, then never mind. Don't do that. But it's just like the idea of what he can be, and I don't think he's ever... You know what? Okay, I can tell you why I'm freaking out about wanting Kadarius Toney. I am still punishing myself for not believing in Tyreek Hill. Not calling Toney the next Tyreek Hill at all, because Hill kind of killed it. When his rookie year, but like I remember, like, he's a gadget player, you know, he'll be a great wide receiver too, don't worry about it. I didn't mean the wide receiver too, and maybe I should have at the time, but like the upside of a guy who has his open space ability on a team that's going to be bad, I think is huge. Like what Amon-Ra St. Brown was doing the past few games. And let's face it, the Giants are not going to be good for the next 2 or 3 years. Like, they are burning it down. I hope they full burn it down, get rid of...
And if they keep Jones and Judge like they say they're going to, they're really not going to be doing anything for the next
year. Hey, new GM, take this stuff that our last guy, you know, like that we don't want, but we can't get rid of right now. Like, that's no team should do that. All right, let's move on to the next question, though. At JFence69, underperforming wide receivers who will be entering the third year in 2022, who you like to make a jump in production / value, and maybe talk about why you think that just breaking out, moving up depth charts, or other players leaving. I'm going to say Jerry Jones, just because, like, right away, that's what I want to say. Jerry Jeudy is very good. Jerry Jeudy had a very good rookie year that no one really wants to pay attention to because he played the same year as Justin Jefferson. And also because Jerry Jeudy maybe isn't that wide receiver one and needed Cortland Sutton on the other side of him, and Cortland Sutton got hurt right away. Jerry Jeudy is very good. Their quarterback play is going to get better in Denver, 99% sure. Like there's like 1% away where they either keep Teddy. Okay, I'll say 98 because either they keep Teddy or they do something really stupid, which I'm not sure what that really stupid thing is yet, but there is always an opening. But he's my easy answer right away that I'm going to throw out there without really thinking of anyone else just yet.
Yeah, there were two names that popped out to me. I don't know if Drew has anybody. I can let him go if he does. But okay, the other name that occurred to me was Chase Claypool.
Yes, very good one.
For the same reason that I would go with Jeudy too, because Jeudy was the other name that occurred to me. I think both are likely to get an upgrade in quarterback. I mean, I guess it's possible they get somebody worse than Ben. I mean, if they go with Mason Rudolph next year, I'm not sure that's any better. but I kind of feel like that they might get somebody. I don't know who, but one of these guys that you know are going to be floating around, Russ or maybe. Even though he's not great, I still think he's better than 2021 Ben. Jimmy G maybe ends up in Pittsburgh.
That would be such a weird fit. Imagine Pittsburgh with a pretty boy quarterback.
Yeah. But I think they'll get somebody who's better than Ben. And if that guy can throw the deep ball, that'll help Claypool. That's been the biggest issue is Ben, you know, can't throw it deep anymore. It hasn't been able to really since Claypool came into the league. So that was the other one that stood out for me. I could see him. I'm not a huge Claypool guy, as we know. I love Deontay, but I think if he has a better quarterback, that he's got the upside, that he's definitely going to have some big game. And like this year has been ridiculous. I think he has one touchdown and I don't think he's been hurt this year. I think he has one touchdown in the year, some crazy low number. Maybe it's not that low, but it's like the exact opposite of last year. So he's bound for some regression next year too. Positive regression.
Michael Pittman, and I know that's weird to say because he did pretty well this mm-hmm. year, but I think he'd benefit from them bringing another wide receiver in because their offense is Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, and I'm sorry, Peter Howard. Yes, Zach Pascal also. but like there's... You stack nine guys in the box, you put two guys on Pittman, and that's all you have to do. Like that's playing defense against the Colts. And that's rough. That's hard. And the fact that he's still, I mean, I don't have it pulled up, but like I think he put up over 200 points or something like that. So like he had a really good year while not really. Here we go. Yeah, 218. He about 13.6 points per game. Again, not great. I wanted him to do better than this, but I still think he can do better. And getting this much better from year one to year two, to me, is a great sign.
And there was one other deeper name that I had pulled out was, and again, the name is Donovan Peoples-Jones, and I'm thinking he may get a quarterback upgrade also, actually. I'm not sure if Baker's there next year.
This is going to be such a conversation whether they're going to pay him, and it's going to be exhausting.
Yeah, but he's flashed as is. I just pulled up his stats. He's got a 101-yard game, an 86-yard game, a 90-yard game, a 76-yard game. You know, I don't know if Jarvis is still going to be there. I think they have an L on this contract if they want it. But regardless, they don't have much else. And if they can get – and maybe even if Baker's there, I mean, maybe some of this year was the fact that he's – you know, dislocated his shoulder like three times and has a torn labrum and all that stuff. Just that would be a deeper name that I think has the potential to be more productive than he has been this year.
Yeah, I'm trying. Yeah. And like the fact that Donovan Peoples-Jones was a five-star recruit. I know very little about this kind of stuff, but that I remember hearing. And he went to Michigan, which is...
And had horrible quarterbacking there from everything I hear.
Yeah, and, you know, wide receivers under any Harbaugh aren't really. Clearly, he probably could have been bred a little better coming into the... Oh, crap.
Who's this guy? Justin.
Hi!
I'm so glad you could make it to the show, Justin.
I'm sure you are.
So, everyone, as you no doubt by now heard me cry a few times that I won zero championships, welcome Justin, the reason I did not win a championship. He beat me in the Dynasty Trades HQ one because the now talked about Jarvis Landry did not score me enough points.
Yeah, and this he only talked about winning that title like literally since the preseason. Justin did win the HQ one this year.
I came in a little cocky. Got a little humbled in the middle of the season with all the damned injuries. And then squeaked it out.
Yeah, like I was saying, I don't remember what happened before we started recording. I didn't think I stood a chance in this game. Like, I'm like, oh, man, his team's good. Mine has depth, but his is good. And then all of a sudden, like, it was really close. And it's just
too close.
And, like, and the thing is, if it was anyone but Davante Adams, I would have won. But then it's like, okay, I did not watch any football this week. I don't watch football on championship week. I can't do it.
You didn't have the sweat last night?
Nope.
Oh man.
I have enough anxiety by default. I don't need to purposely bring it into my life.
I would have more anxiety not looking. I'd be constantly thinking about it and like, am I close? Am I not close? Did I win? Did I not win?
Nah, what it is, man. And yeah, but I checked at halftime of the Packers game. Well, it just happened to be halftime, and I'm like, oh. Cool, he has 28 at halftime. That was fun. Because needing Jarvis Landry to come in and score more than he had to equal his highest score of the season, which of course happened in week one. I'm like, no, okay, cool. I lost this one. It was fun. I'm glad the fantasy football gods gave me hope just to tear it back down.
When Najee took off and went all the way to the end zone, I was like, this is how I'm going to lose. Baker's going to get the ball back and throw a couple little dinker passes, and I'm going to lose because Najee didn't do the right thing and go down.
Go, and it didn't matter for me fantasy-wise. I was surprised he scored the touchdown.
Me too. I was like, he's got it. Wait, what are you doing? Fall. Yeah, I don't know.
He's young, man. He wants those stats. Maybe he had himself in fantasy.
he won.
Yeah.
He won.
Yeah. Need that championship. Oh, who was it? Like Maurice Jones-Drew always drafted himself first, regardless.
Football player that was like really openly into fantasy football. It was cool. Yeah. Now we got AJ Dillon out there, Austin Eckler.
Eckler's awesome.
But also, Eckler is awesome. AJ Dillon, not only, but he's huge into football cards. What he does is he gets cards of himself, and they're ones with the patches, and then he'll take the patch out, sign it, put the patch back in, and send it to people. Like he modifies his own cards and sends them back to people better than they were before. Like he put like a different piece of a jersey in. Like it's just so cool to. They're not jerks. Like that's really not only does it humanize them a lot, but like they're into the same stuff we are. It's not like we just sit here like idolizing their godlike status of football players. Like, no, he likes cards. He likes the stupid numbers game we play. Like, I just think that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. You can leave now, Justin. You just came here to torment me.
I just want to say hi.
No, of course. I mean, we are on our, okay. Justin, without any, time to think whatsoever. Do you have any underperforming wide receivers entering their third year who you think are going to make a jump in value?
What?
Exactly. Yeah, we just finished talking about that question. Well, we do only have one question left, so let's go on to it. At Dynasty Toddler, which I don't know why is a fantastic name, we did start to talk about thoughts on Davis Mills, value of a 22 second in trades or value of Steelers receivers. We talked about a lot of this already, but let's do it again. Do you think Davis Mills is the starter next year, guys? No one, not everyone.
I know, nobody's sure. I think he could be.
Are you starting him over Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
And yeah, no, like honestly, why not start Davis Mills? Davis, like the Texans aren't going to win even if they draft the Super Bowl caliber quarterback right now. Like they go and they draft Justin Herbert. They're still a really, 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 really bad team.
Are they, though? Because they've been really competitive in the second half of the season.
That's true. They're.
I mean, I don't know that they're winning a bunch of games, but I think that they're better than a 101 in the draft kind of team, even with bad quarterback play. I don't know. Yeah.
But that being said, I think there's enough holes that I ride Davis Mills to mediocrity for a little bit, and then when you're ready, go and get who you hope Justin Herbert is.
And that mediocrity has arguably been the second best rookie quarterback this year and in a not great situation.
But that is also to be saying of the rest of the quarterbacks and their situation.
That's true, but
like Lance hasn't played. Fields had to deal with a couple of injuries and with Matt Nagy, and Herbert, not Herbert. I keep saying Herbert when I go to say Lawrence, and I don't know why that is. Puppy!
I just got home and I didn't say hello to her, so she's like freaking out.
That is your fault. You should have said hi to your dog. Say hi to your dog right now. Oh, yeah. What's her name?
This is Lady.
What is she?
She is a mutt.
Oh, she's a cutie mutt.
She's a lab border collie mix. Okay, bug. Okay. Sit down.
Yeah, I guarantee you I'm going to go upstairs. My dog, my bulldog, is going to be not only in my bed, stretched diagonally over my spot in the bed.
Right,
snoring like a mofo, and then I'm going to go to pick her up and carry her away, and she's going to give me such a dirty look. Like she judges the shit out of me whenever I go and do something. She's just...
I always have to walk into mine and be like, "Okay, lady, move." And she just kind of stands up and then still sits or stands right where I want to lay. I'm like, "No, that's not it. That's not
power move."
Yep, yeah, there you go. Yes,
she owns this place.
Yes, and they know it. That's the hard part. And like, my dog doesn't break eye contact when she does shit like that too. It's just like it takes one step over. Like, no, that's not enough. I'm larger than you are. I need to be able to. Just shakes like she pretty much like shakes her head no at me. I'm like, oh, damn. Okay. What was the last question? Okay, so Davis Mills. Would you pay a second for Davis Mills right now?
Yeah, sure. I'm in. Sure, second.
Honestly, I think I would too. Yeah. Like everything we're saying about the second, like would you rather have a dart throw wide receiver, or even if he doesn't start, you see what you have in him when he does. Your dog is freaking adorable. I can't get over it.
She's a daddy's girl. So
it is legitimately cuddling with you right now, and it makes me jealous that my dog just is too cool for me. Like Davis Mills, like every backup quarterback should be rostered in a super flex league, assuming you have 20 something spots.
Right.
Davis Mills has to be one of the top backups at this point. So a second, especially if it's mid to late, is pretty easy for me. Like I would take Mills.
Are we expecting a big carousel of quarterbacks like we were at the start of the season? In this offseason? Is Aaron Rodgers moving?
Well, I mean, Jimmy G, we know they have Lance. That's not really, but like, where is he going to go? I mean, Carolina. Right. New Orleans, kind of, right?
What's Jameis do? I mean, that's another one that could move if they want to go a different direction.
But also, when is he going to be healthy? Like, that's another question. Said, of it.
He got injured in October, right?
He got injured pretty late.
Yeah, I don't know.
Philadelphia, huh?
I think that one's it, and I think Hurts he's got another year.
I know. It's just that we didn't. Hurts is starting reference.
We didn't get the question, so I had to throw it in there. All right, so I just pulled up NFL.com because I can never think of all teams
Pittsburgh,
in my head.
We talked about
Washington,
Denver,
Miami's good. Tennessee is.
I wish Atlanta needed one, but they're going to try and ride out Matt Ryan another year.
Yeah, Atlanta should move on at this point.
It should.
The Giants should move on. But they're saying they might not.
I think the Lions are going to stay with Goff.
They're one of those teams where it's just like you're so bad. Why they need another do anything year. Else? Yeah. Arizona, no, Dallas, Minnesota. Like they're going to move on from Cousins eventually, right?
Not this year though. He's got $45 million, and it's all guaranteed.
Is it still next year?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, I know nothing about Kellen Mond. I don't know if he's the future or anything.
No, you didn't watch football this weekend. That's right.
I didn't. Was it bad?
He got in the game and he didn't play much, but he looked like
not. He was bad enough that they started what's his name over him for
Sean Mannion. And then when asked about it, Zimmer's like, do you want to see more of Kalamon? He's like, not particularly.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Talking about next week because they're eliminated. Yeah.
Not really. And they, something about, have you seen enough of him? And he was like, I see him every day in practice. Day
yeah.
Oh, man. It was, it was bad.
Poor guy. Really bad. Like, I get it. You're in the NFL, and that feels awesome. But that, like, I would probably start crying if I heard that. Like, turn my head and get that one man, like that one man tier down the cheeks. Right.
So anyone with hopes that Kalamon was going to take over for Kirk Cousins, you could just toss those. It sounds like Zimmer's already like just cut them all together.
Yeah. So I mean, it sounds like there's enough quarterback stuff going around. It's not like Davis Mills is going to get moved, but I do still think if enough quarterback spots get filled, Houston might not bother doing something. And I do think.
Yeah,
he gets the start there. But again, like I said before, I think a mid to late second for a backup QB that you know you might not feel terrible throwing into your QB2 spot is worth it.
Yep.
And we have like Peter Howard has been like left, like he left his mojo in here with how much we're like tangenting on every single question. Value of the Steelers wide receivers. Okay, we're not going to ask Rocky because we know his answer.
Deontay to the moon.
Deontay to the moon. Okay, in wide receiver. Hold on, let me scroll. Deontay Johnson is wide I'm not on the right page. What am I doing?
I believe I looked this up yesterday, actually.
Wide receiver 14. In
I go by points per game.
Oh, no, I was looking at ADP.
He's looking at ADP. It's the non-point scoring season, Rocky. Come on.
But he was receiver 7. In scoring,
right?
Oh wow,
he's undervalued. He's undervalued.
Exactly, that's my point. That's why I wanted to bring up the points.
All right, and let's look at Claypool. Is actually higher than I thought it'd be. He's wide receiver 20 right now.
He's too high, way too high.
Let's talk about the players around him. We'll go up to 17. Devonta Smith, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, Chase Claypool. I think of all of that, the only person I would drop below him is Hopkins, only because. 30 and injured, but right. I still love Hopkins, but I just think the upside of Claypool.
Who's behind is there. Him? Who's behind Claypool?
That's where we're about to go. Calm down, okay. Man.
Excuse me. Sorry. I'm jumping ahead. My bad.
Jerry Jeudy, Michael Pittman, Mike Evans is wide receiver 23 for some reason. Marquise Brown, Calvin Ridley, Rashad. And now we get to like Rashad Bateman, Brandon Ayuk, Amari Cooper's 28. And, well, A-gen wide receiver.
I was going to say, is he 28?
he's technically 27. He will be 28. Elijah Moore, Cortland Sutton, and now we get to Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, Michael Thomas guys. I think we clearly take Claypool over.
There was a bunch of gun names you said I'd rather have.
What if I said I like Michael Thomas over Claypool? Why is everybody so hateful on him?
We talked about it a little before. I think it's
he's going to be a buy low for me this year.
I call it the fact that he's kind of divaing himself out is really what the big problem. But it's also the Dez paradox where Dez was a wide receiver 1 in fantasy football. Like it was weird because all he did was like score touchdowns, but he kept doing it. It's like what Devontae Adams was 2 or 3 years ago before he started catching a lot of balls as well. It's just like he's not going to catch 12 touchdowns. Oh, he caught 12 touchdowns again. He's not going to do. Okay, no, he caught 14. Crap. Like Dez just caught a lot of touchdowns, but like. He stopped catching as many, but he was still like scoring as the wide receiver 16, but people wouldn't even take him for a third. It's just like, no, because he's not a wide receiver 1 anymore. He's worth nothing. And I think that's what's happening a lot, like with Michael Thomas, where it's just like, oh, he's not what he was. So he's garbage now. And I think you're right. I think, and I was talking about Rocky, like, I think I won at least one just in case share where I think, paying very little for him, like you probably have to, but getting a solid wide receiver 2 is pretty awesome for it.
That's how I feel about it. He's going to be a wide receiver 2, but you know, I don't know that I think that Claypool is ever going to be the guy that people want him to be.
Is Claypool Kenny Galladay?
Ooh,
that's a good count.
Is Kenny Galladay better than Claypool?
Well, I'm not even talking skill wise, like. Kenny Galladay, well, first of all, if you had early rookie drafts, Kenny Galladay was drafted in the third, you know, like, and then all of a sudden, by the time the season started, he's getting drafted in the end of the first in rookie drafts. And he had a pretty good rookie year. Claypool did that ridiculous 4 touchdown game. You know, Galladay did really good. And a lot of it was derailed by injuries with Galladay and crappy team play, but clearly he's never lived up to it at all. But it was until this year, or like just before this year, where everyone's like, I'm ready to say Galladay's not going to be a thing. Like, I still, especially if they do go with Mason Rudolph for some weird reason, like, I think we're going to keep pushing. This is going to happen. And all of a sudden, Claypool's in the league for 6 years. We're like, okay, maybe we're ready to say that this isn't going to happen.
I think we give up earlier on Claypool than we did on Galladay.
Yeah. I think people, you know, Galladay did flash a couple thousand yard seasons, didn't he? You know, like 1,000 and 1,100.
He had got a good stretch. 2019,
he had 1,190 and 11.
Right. Yeah, he had 1,100 something yards, so almost 1,200. He definitely flashed more than Claypool has so far. Claypool, his value last year, or his points last year, were buoyed by a crap ton of touchdowns. You know, he's never been reliable on a week-to-week basis, in both NFL and in fantasy. So it kind of scares me to even try to bank on him in fantasy. I don't like those kind of receivers.
Okay, but I want to go down this list a little bit because Rocky said there was a lot of guys in here. Claypool or Jerry Jeudy?
Jeudy.
Yeah, I know. Me and Rocky don't need to answer this one because the answer is easily Jeudy for us.
Yeah, I'm Jeudy as well if I can get someone besides Drew Locke or Teddy Bridgewater back there.
I really think there will be.
Can we please? Can we please?
Russell Wilson, baby, let's do it.
That'd be fun. Jeudy to the moon.
Yeah. Pittman or Chase Claypool?
Pittman.
Yeah.
Mike Evans?
Evans.
Mike Evans.
Hollywood.
That's the one, like, it strikes me how far down he is, given his age and what he's done.
Once you don't believe, you'll know it takes forever to start believing. Okay, well, I mean, Calvin Ridley just isn't kind of fair because I hope he plays again. I really, really hope he plays again.
As long as he plays again, it's Ridley.
Yeah, get well, man. And then hopefully part of getting well means playing again. And now we get to the interesting part. Rashad Bateman or Chase Claypool.
I think Bateman's a better talent, so I'll take him over Claypool.
He has a good quarterback right now.
Who does?
Bateman.
Are you sure about that? He's got a great running back behind me back there.
I'll take Lamar over.
I lean Bateman.
We don't start fights on the show. This is tough. I think I take Claypool over Bateman. I don't want to, but I think I do. One or two more, just because I think I remember seeing names I like down there. Brandon Ayuk, because he started to be somewhat of a thing towards the end of the season.
He did.
I'd go Ayuk. He should.
I'd go Ayuk.
My Ayuk.
I don't even like Ayuk.
Yeah, I don't either. But I think I have to go with him.
I'd probably go Claypool out of that.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so I want to do two more. Amari Cooper.
I'm taking Cooper all day.
Yep.
He's weirdly just doing poorly at the end of the year, Amari Cooper is, but I still take him over Claypool.
Great. I'll take
him. So is Claypool. So.
Elijah Moore.
Elijah Moore. Easy for me.
Yeah.
Is he, I'm very curious to see what happens with his value now that points don't matter anymore. Because there was a while where he was going for a first plus when he was going nuts and then randomly found himself on the IR for seemingly no reason. But I'm very curious to see his value because he was
killing it with the worst quarterback in the league. I mean,
right.
Wide receiver 29 in December. I'm very I want January's ADP to come out so I could see where he is in there. But
does Zach Wilson get Rosened?
No.
Jets
won't do it.
He showed enough at the end of the season that he's gonna be locked in.
Yes. Yeah, played.
It's not been great, but it's been good enough. But Rosen also, was just trash.
Yeah, it was a perfect storm for Rosen. Where
plus, there's not going to be a coaching change.
So. Change of coach,
exactly,
right,
and yeah. Such a and philosophical a really difference between the two coaches. It was perfect storm to just
and a high end prospect. Like you know, high end prospect there with Kyler. So Kyler,
was dunk 101 kind of guy. Yeah.
Right. Where there definitely is not this year.
Yeah.
How about a guy Rocky mentioned earlier, Amon-Ra St. Brown or Claypool?
It's Claypool for me.
I want Claypool.
Okay, so here's my thing with Amon-Ra St. Brown. I love the story, the fact that a reporter went to the house of the St. Browns where there are three children who play wide receiver, and they asked all of them who they think the most talented wide receiver is. They all said Amon-Ra. So I'm like, okay, no, I love this guy now. And like, he is what he is. He's a really good slot receiver. He's a really good possession guy. And that absolute, like, remember what Golden Tate was on that team. But there was Megatron on the other side of that, you know, like there was like a lot needs to happen for him to with a healthy Hockenson and a healthy Swift. I don't think Amon-Ra does what he's doing now.
And I think, you know, they add another receiver as well. Another high end.
That might be better for him. Like to me, there's a middle part where it's not good for him. But like when they have a full team, I think he'll be good. Yeah. And I don't think he'll be this. That's really what I'm trying to say is.
Yeah.
And I mean, think he's this.
He was there for the first 10 games of this year when Swift and Hopper playing. And we did not see this.
That's true. He had a couple of good games too, but
There's probably a middle ground between, you know, he got it all because all those guys were out, and he got it all because he improved as a player. Like somewhere in between those two.
It's kind of like Ayuk with less draft capital.
Yeah, I made an Evan Engram joke the other day.
Or that,
like, is that what this is? Where it's just there was no other choice. But I don't think that Engram floor is there, or really the Ayuk beginning of this year floor is there for St. Brown. I think he's very safe. I think he's an easy 3 for 30 in a PPR league, like, you know, 6 to 8 points. And if you play in a deep enough league, you need that. And then there's a ceiling that comes above that if the team gets better. All right, well, that is the end of our show sheet. That's going to be the end of our show because, man, I have no idea what the hell we're talking about anymore. It is 11:20, and I'm ready for bed.
Hey, you guys want to talk about the Dynasty Trades HQ Listener League, HQ1? Anybody want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Oh, man, weird. He got muted. How'd that even happen? I didn't even know you could do that. Why would you mute yourself, Justin? Who won that league? Strange. I don't know. Did they even have one? I know they have the Listener League 2, 3, and 4, but I didn't know they had a one. All right, well, before we go, thank you two for jumping on. So why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do.
Champ?
Drew, go first because you were here first.
No. Drew at underscore DR underscore PRA. I'm not a doctor, even though people try to pin that to me. Hang out with Josh and Bill on the timeline, also part of the DAP network. Otherwise, hang out with three kids at home in a yellow lab and try to keep things one day at a time.
Where's your dog? Bring your dog to the show next time.
Yeah, he is upstairs, passed out.
Passed out, yeah. Mine made it that like 5 minute stretch, and now she had to like turn around and lay down.
Yeah, she's got she was on top of you for a very long time, and now she's just gone.
Yeah, she just swung around and put her butt in my face and laid down.
Yeah. Power move.
That's all she does. She runs this joint. You can find me at RunDFF on Twitter. You can find me at the Dynasty Hot Sauce podcast. And every once in a while, popping in here. So that's about it. You know, winning championships over Outhouse. Well, hey, did you get a cramp in that finger?
Scratching my face with my middle finger.
Yeah, your finger cramped. It won't straighten out. Won't.
Oh, hold on. Let me do it a little better for you.
Oh, I see those. Yeah. You should probably direct those toward Jarvis Landry, not me.
No, I will not blame football players for my fantasy football teams.
That's fair enough.
I'm going to at them and write nasty words because I'm an idiot. No, never at players.
Agreed on that. So unless you're saying thank you and I sent some money to your charity.
Yes.
And yeah, that kind of thing.
If you want a championship, pick your MVP of your team and send some money to their charity. Every player has a charity. Go do that. Right. Great idea, Justin. Yep. But we are the Trade Addicts Pod, member of the DLF Family Podcast at DAP underscore network on Twitter for the DAP network. Russ Fisher at Dynasty Ad House, Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. I still change your handle and make it something I like better. I like saying better. Yes. Screw up your entire, you know, persona for me.
I'll
get right on that.
Yeah. Right on top of that, Rose. ffpodshirts.storenv.com. T-shirts, mugs, stickers for all of the podcasts that you can think of that don't want to make their own stuff. Also, we still we're randomly selling a couple of Scott Fishbowl shirts, so rock on, go buy some more stuff. Every penny will go to Fantasy Cares. Clearly, it's past Christmas, so it's all for next year at this point. But keep it coming, man. Let's, you know, keep donating. And also, you get stuff. I talked about Patreon a couple of times. You get to watch us record, which is why I keep making the jokes of you get to see me giving Justin the finger like I'm doing right now with two hands. Peace among worlds, guys. Peace among worlds. I don't know, man. I'm rambling like a mofo at this point. So good night, everybody.
Good night,
have a good night.